there's a collection of church announcements that's been out there before. I think I've used some of these before, but announcement a church made one time. They said the sermon this morning is Jesus walks on water. The sermon this evening is searching for Jesus. Yeah, you heard that one. I've always loved this one. The church was advertising a rummage sale. It says, ladies, don't forget the rummage sale. It's a chance to get rid of those things not worth keeping around the house. Don't forget your husbands. a new one that I don't think I've ever seen this one before. I don't remember it, but I like this one here. Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Memorial Church. Come tonight and hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. thought that was good here. This morning I want us to look at a very special announcement, the announcement that the angel made in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, verse 26, this is what it says. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Y'all know the story, right? Luke chapter 1, the Christmas story here. Let me share with you what the angel said. The angel's message here. The angel went to Mary and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Greetings. This is an angel just appears to Mary. Greetings. I mean, the original Hallmark card right there, you know, greetings. And it's an angel. I think we think of angels like Cupid or something like that. And angels in the Bible were no Cupids. They were terrifying. So this angel is this greeting, which literally means rejoice. Rejoice. Can you imagine an angel appearing before you and saying, "Rejoice"? I don't know what to do about this. It goes on and says, "You who are highly favored." The literal translation of that, "you whom God is continuously bestowing his grace upon." I love the word continuously. He's continuously bestowing his grace upon you. You are highly favored. And I get the glimpse here that as the angel says this, it's almost as if the angel's a bit envious. You know, yeah, God is continuously bestowing his favor on you. You lucky human being. As if, you know, the angel, "I wish I was human so I could experience this grace that they're experiencing here." But the word's highly favored. Let's think for a minute here what this does not mean. Highly favored does not imply physical well-being. You know, being highly favored from God doesn't mean that, you know, this does not imply in any way wealth and health gospel, prosperity gospel here. It's not about what Mary wants. It's not about her will. It's not about her conveniences. I mean, her being highly favored by God is not, it's not about what she wants in life. But she's still highly favored by God. God's favor, found this definition here. God's favor is God's guarantee of his presence and his provisions and his power to accomplish his purpose. When you know God is with you, and when you know that God is with you, and just unpack that, all that comes with God, and that's with you, and when you get that, you are highly favored. The message here is when we surrender our lives for his purposes, we will be blessed and we will be highly favored. And the angel says another thing here. It says, "The Lord is with you." This is what Gabriel said. Gabriel's saying this to Mary. "The Lord is with you." And I'm thinking, I might be reading into it a little bit here, but I'm thinking, he's in you. He's just a little tiny thing right now, but he's going to grow. It's going to be awesome. You know, this is what the angel's telling Mary. And Mary's freaking out, okay? This is what she's doing. It says here in verse 29, "Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be." She wondered what she's saying. Say what? What? She's greatly troubled, which I'm thinking the Hebrew for that means terrified. You know, code word terrified. She's talking with an angel, and she's getting the idea here that her life is getting ready to be completely turned upside down. And she's wondering. She's perplexed. What is this? She wondered, what kind of greeting is this? And let me ask you at this point, what do we know about Mary? From what we gather here from this text here, things that we know about Mary. First of all, we know that she was young, probably between the ages of 13 and 15. That's marrying age 2,000 years ago. So pretty young. And we know she's engaged to Joseph. Now, all you ladies here, you know, you young ladies, maybe you're already thinking about that day. Or the older ladies here, I gotta be careful how I say it. You think about back to that day, and when you were engaged and all that comes with that, and you're planning everything out. You've picked the day, you've picked the place, you've picked out the dress already. And the ring, but I was focused on the dress. I mean, because when, yeah, and the ring too. A little plug for everybody's gonna be there. You know, everybody's gonna be there. And now her life is being totally turned upside down, totally disrupted. So she's young, she's engaged, she's from the line of David, is what we find out here in the text. Luke 1:27 says she's a descendant of David, either her or Joseph or both. And what does that mean? I mean, David reigned 1,000 years prior to this. 1,000 years. And David had a couple of wives, maybe several. And David's son Solomon had lots of wives. Which we would assume, so that means he had lots of children. So you just think from David, being from the line of David, there's probably a million people walking around Israel at this time who were from the line of David. No big deal. I mean, who cares? I mean, I'm from the line of Adam. I don't think about that very often, you know. No big deal. And why even bring it up? We bring it up because this is prophecy, and in 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, it talks about the line of David, that God would establish the throne from the line of David. But once again, that was written 1,000 years ago, and it didn't come true, and nobody thinks about this anymore because, I mean, it's one of those old things that people have heard before, but it didn't happen. So being from the line of David, I don't know that it meant a big deal to her at all. Another thing I see here. Where did the angel go to make this announcement? God sent the angel to a certain place. Did you get this? Where? Nazareth. Yes, I was waiting for somebody to say Bethlehem. I was going to pounce on them. No, it says here Nazareth. The angel was sent to Nazareth. Now, and I don't want to get into a big, long, because I was reading some stuff about this, and it was really boring, but the gist of it basically means she's from nowhere. Nobody cares about it. It's like she's from Crawford County, you know? Okay. I hit a nerve there, didn't I? All right. But the summary, what I'm trying to say, the summary here is Mary is just an ordinary girl living an ordinary life from some ordinary place, and this is who God chooses to use. And I think this is important to say, too. It's not because of anything Mary has done. I mean, has Mary done anything special? She's only 13 or 14 or 15 years old. What has she done to deserve this? It's not because she's more holy than other people. It's not because she's more deserving. There's nothing in the text indicating that there's anything special about Mary, which is that, and that's why God chose her. This is not about Mary. This is about God. This is about God using an ordinary person, somebody who is undeserving of this grace, as we all are. She's just like us. And yet she is highly, if she's highly favored, maybe we are highly favored too. Maybe God would choose to use us, ordinary people. So this is all about God. This isn't about Mary. God is calling Mary into a special relationship with him. And when God calls us, he's inviting us into a very special relationship with him. And she's wondering, remember, she was wondering, what kind of greeting is this? What kind of greeting is this? I mean, I wanted to figure out the answer to that. What kind of greeting is this? What kind of greeting is this? Is this an invitation to serve Almighty God. This is an invitation to walk with God and be a part of what God is doing in this great universe that he created. And he's inviting Mary, come along with me. Let me show you great things. Let me do great things through your life. That's what kind of invitation this is. So you know, I said, she's young, she's engaged, she's from the line of David, she's from Nazareth. And one more little detail, just a little detail I want to put in here. She's a virgin. Just a little thing there. Just want to put that out. A virgin pledged to be married. No big deal, you know. But the text goes on here. The angel's message. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." So basically, to pull this down here, what Gabriel is telling Mary here, basically saying, you are going to give birth to the Messiah. You have been chosen to conceive and carry within you a baby who happens to be God. I think I've heard somebody say this before. Can you imagine Mary, you know, on the playground with the other mothers? You know, and they're all watching their little kids, and one mother's talking about little Johnny, and yeah, he's only 4 years old, and he's taking swimming lessons. Yeah, that's Jesus. He's walking on water. Stop it. Yeah, he's God. Yeah, just imagine this, what Mary experienced, being the mother of Jesus. And let me read this again here. I read it already, chapter 1, verses 30 through 33. This is Luke, chapter 1. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of the father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." What is the subject of this passage here? Is it Mary? No, Mary's not the subject here. This is all about Jesus. And what is it specifically that Gabriel is telling Mary about Jesus? What do we know about this child? What do we know about the Messiah? First of all, we know that he's going to be named Jesus, which means Savior. That's what the name Jesus means, Savior. We also know that he will be great. And then you think about that. I think it's already up there. What does that mean? Great, to be great means sinless. And think about this. Because all throughout history, every famous biblical person we've ever talked about, they've all fallen short. King David himself fell short. Solomon fell short. Uzziah fell short. And Asa fell short. And Hezekiah, they all fall short of the glory of God, until you get to Jesus, who does not fall short. So when I see that he will be great in God's eyes, what does that mean? He does not fall short. He did not sin. He is perfect. He is holy. So his name will be Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. Another way of saying it, he will be called God, the Son of God. And he will be given the throne of David. And you can focus here that, you know, on David. What I'm focused on here, he will be given the throne. What does that mean? He is king. He is king. Not only is he king, this is also a reference to the fact that he is the fulfillment of prophecy. All the Old Testament prophecies all pointed to this, and they've all been fulfilled, which means the word of God is true. It's very dangerous when you live your life outside of the Word, when you reject the Word of God, because that means you're wandering through life aimlessly. But when you understand the Word of God, this came from the Creator of the universe, and it's true. And Jesus will be king, and he will reign forever, which means forever, all right? It means eternally. That means no term limits. He's not limited by death. He's not limited by anything. He will not be voted out. He reigns forever. It says in Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. This is who this baby is. And Mary's response is, how will this be? This is what she asked the angel, since I'm a virgin. This is what she said. I mean, just that little detail right there. I mean, don't know much about biology. Don't know much about the birds and bees. But, you know, how is this going to happen? And clearly, this is something supernatural. This is something that has never happened before. And Jesus' immaculate conception will be absolutely one of a kind. And the message is clear that Jesus would be fully human and fully God. Fully human because his mother is Mary, and fully God because his father is God Almighty. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and give you and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. The virgin will be with child. His name will be Emmanuel, God with us. And to get into more detail, how, without getting into a lot of details here, but what the angel says here, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Now, I want to unpack that a little bit. I want you to see something here. How can this happen? The angel Gabriel explains a couple of things. How can this happen? Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And secondly, the Most High will overshadow you. That's talking about God Almighty. He will overshadow you. This is a reference. This is a reference to being overshadowed. It take you back to the Old Testament here, the tabernacle. Remember how God led the people out of Egypt into the Promised Land. He led them as a pillar of fire by night and as a cloud by day. Well, this is a reference to that cloud that would overshadow her. The presence of God will overshadow Mary. So the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the Most High will overshadow you, and the Holy One will be in you. Talking about Jesus. Now, what I want you to see here is the Trinity at work. The Trinity is there. The whole Trinity is present at this point. And also to point out that Gabriel points back to Elizabeth, her aunt, who is pregnant, and you know she's old, and how can that happen? Well, that's a miracle. This is of God. God is at work. God is up to something. So Elizabeth, your aunt, can be pregnant, and we recognize that's a miracle. That's of God. And also one more thing to recognize, that do you realize nothing is impossible with God? If God says he's going to do something, then God's going to do it. Nothing is impossible with God. That's what Gabriel says. Nothing is impossible with God. The only thing that limits our acceptance of the thought of a virgin conceiving a child is our view of God. We want to explain everything scientifically. I mean, all you need to know is God, and nothing is impossible. He does this stuff all the time. I mean, the fact that he created the universe out of nothing, yeah, God does that. The fact that he took Adam from the dust of the ground and breathed life to him, that's what God does. The fact that he made Eve from a rib from Adam, well, that's what God does. So why is this hard for anybody to understand? If God says he's going to do it, God's going to do it. And God had to do it like this because all this points to the fact that God, that Jesus Christ was fully human. I led a Bible study one time on this. This is years ago now. I led a Bible study on the humanity of Jesus Christ. And I tried to lead the Bible study again at another time, and it didn't happen the same way. But the first time I led it, I was bawling my eyes out because it overwhelmed me what Jesus left behind to come here and experience humanity. And he had to experience humanity so he could die in our place. If he just came here as God, dying on a cross wouldn't have been the adequate substitute for our blood, for our sins. He had to come here as a man. And yet, he also had to come here as God. And this explains how that could happen. I went off my notes here. So Mary's response to all this. Mary's response, what does she say? In verse 38, it says, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." So what is Mary saying to this announcement that just rocked her world? She's saying, "Okay, yes, I'm the Lord's servant." And I got to think, that's a pretty amazing answer. I want to stop and just think, Mary, consider the ramifications of what you're saying here. I mean, have you talked to Joseph about this? Have you talked to your fiancé about what's getting ready to happen here? What will he say? What will he do? Mary, do you understand you going back to your community and saying, "Hey, you're pregnant"? That's not going to play well. You're going to get stoned to death with rocks. Okay, I always feel like I have to say with rocks because our world is so sick. Okay, so, but have you thought about what Joseph is going to say? Have you thought about your family, the embarrassment this is going to bring to your family? Have you thought about the shame that this is going to bring to your family? Have you considered your integrity? Have you considered your reputation? Are you prepared for the ridicule that's going to come with this and the scorn and the gossip? Are you prepared for all that, Mary? And then I was mindful of a verse here in Luke chapter 2. We talked about Simeon a couple weeks ago, and I take you back here to Luke chapter 2. There was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. This was after the birth of Jesus Christ. He was righteous. He was devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord Christ. And moved by the Spirit, he went to the temple courts. When it was Mary and Joseph, they were bringing the baby into the temple to dedicate him to the Lord. And Simeon saw Mary and Joseph, and Simeon saw the Christ child. And Simeon says this. He blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. Simeon, he's saying, this baby that you just brought into the world, This baby, the God that you just brought into the world, he is going to be hated. And you're going to watch the world hate him and reject him and kill him. He goes on, he says, "And a sword will pierce your heart also, Mary." This is not a decision to be taken lightly. What God is asking you to do, it's not going to be easy. You sure you're going to say yes to this, Mary? You sure that's your answer? Your final answer right here? I want you to see, Mary was submissive to the will of God. And then we could unpack that and talk about that for a couple hours. What does it mean to be submissive to the will of God? And she was obedient to God. And we just talked about the ramifications of this decision. But I also want you to think about the responsibilities of this decision. To raise God. I mean, where's the manual for that? You know, how do you do that? To bring God into this world, to watch over him, to make sure he doesn't die on your watch. That would be bad. To nurture him, to not lose your temper around him. I mean, he's with you all the time. Can you imagine if Mary got agitated and got frustrated and said something she shouldn't have said and God is right next to her? I mean, what do you do with that? This is a heavy responsibility. She's always with him. Always. I would think a lot of us would run away from that because we love having a relationship with God on Sunday mornings. But, you know, Monday through Friday, hey, I want to do what I want to do. I don't think Mary had that option. Mary lived with God and walked with God and raised God. It's so weird to say. It's so weird. She was submissive, she was obedient, and she was trusting. She didn't know how this was going to work. She didn't quite fully understand the detail. We can't understand what it is that God is calling us to do. We won't have all the answers. For all you control freaks who want to know all the details before you say yes, that wasn't given to Mary. But she made herself available to God. She didn't make excuses. I'm thinking of how Moses, you know, hey, I can't talk so good. Not me. Can't do this. You know, Moses made all kinds of excuses. Mary didn't make any excuses. And she didn't run away. You know, Jonah ran away when God appeared to him. So she didn't run away. She didn't make excuses. A lady writes, Mary wins her place in history, not for her cleverness, not for her beauty, not even for her goodness. She becomes the most important woman in the world simply because she is willing to say yes to an angel's strange proposal without a clue where it would lead her. Doing so, she becomes the prototype for all of us who are invited to bear God in this world. Mary is perhaps one of the best examples of a faithful response to God's calling. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you've said. One of the best examples of a good response to God. Perhaps only beaten by her son, who said, not my will, Lord, but yours be done, as he went to that cross. Faithful servant. Jesus was a faithful servant. Mary's a faithful servant. I think all this leads to asking about us, when God comes calling on us. And you notice throughout the Bible that he calls everybody differently. I mean, with Mary, he sent Gabriel. To you, he sent me. Sorry. But what's your response when God calls? First of all, some things to consider. Consider, first of all, yourself. And like I try to make the case about Mary, don't be offended by this. Just understand, you are probably pretty ordinary. Ordinary person, ordinary life, from an ordinary place. And as I try to make the case with Mary, Mary didn't do anything to earn this. It's not like she deserved this. You and I, we're undeserving of what God is asking of us. We've not earned the right to serve God. And yet, he wants to use us anyway. God is good at using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And I think the reason why is so he gets the glory and not us. So people see him working through us, his ordinary, humble servants. That's how it's supposed to work. So just consider yourself. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought. You are made to serve God. And the question is, are we going to serve God? So consider yourself. Secondly, consider this privilege, the privilege of being called by God. Yes, this is a heavy responsibility, but this is also a privilege. And the reason he is calling you is because you are highly favored. Now, we read about Mary being highly favored, but don't miss the point here. You are highly favored too. God loves you too. God is calling you into a very special relationship with him. Your responsibility is going to be different than her responsibility, but it's still an opportunity to walk with God and know God and hear from God and be used by God. Rejoice, you are highly favored. No one deserves the opportunity to serve God. This is a privilege. This is a privilege. And I also want you to consider the price of serving God. Mary paid a dear price. We don't know how much she was rejected by society. But we do know how much her son was rejected. And we know that she was there watching it every step of the way. Rejected and murdered by her government, the Romans, And by her church, the Jews, God's chosen people, she watched them kill her son. So I would just tell you that I think for us to take seriously this calling from God, we have to consider the price. What is it? What price are you going to pay for serving God? But I always like to turn that around, though. Consider the price of not serving God. Consider what's at stake to say no. Can you imagine? And we could go here for a couple weeks here. Imagine what the world would be. This would be so depressing. What the world would be like if Mary said no, which God's will was going to be done anyway, but it'd be a completely different story, wouldn't it? If Mary said no to God, the way that sometimes we say no to God. So this all leads to consider the bigger picture. Consider this is not about Mary. It's not about what she wants. Yeah. Sorry about your wedding plans. This is bigger than that. This is about the redemption of mankind. This is what God is calling Mary to and what God is calling you to. It's you got to think about the big picture. You got to see things from God's perspective. You got to see things in light of eternity, not just this life that we live here on this earth, because this life, it comes and goes. This life will be gone before you know it. This life was just to prepare you for your eternal existence with your Heavenly Father. So while we're here on this planet, we have work to do. So we gotta look at things from the bigger picture. Look at what God is trying to do with us and through us. God has a plan. God's working his plan. It's about the redemption of all mankind through his son, Jesus Christ, which would be conceived and raised by this woman named Mary. Another thing you need to consider in all this, consider when God comes knocking at your door, consider God. Nothing is impossible with him. And we have history to prove it, which drives me crazy that we are so reluctant and so resistant to God when we can look at story after story after story, when God calls somebody and we see how it plays out, and yet we're still dragging our feet and think, not me, Lord. Have you consider Artie? You know, go get Artie, not me. I don't, so why are we so reluctant when we understand nothing is impossible with God? So the bottom line is, do we trust him? Do we trust God? And do we love him? Is he worth saving? Worth serving? That was a big difference. Is he worth serving? Do we love him? Do we trust him? One more thing before we get out of here. I want to take you through just a couple of decisions that were made to make Christmas possible for all of us. Because I think we love Christmas. We love the season of the year. But notice all the decisions that had been made to get us here. First of all, consider the decision that God made. In Galatians 4, it says this here. In Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5, it says, when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, Mary, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive full rights as sons. And what I want you to see, God made a decision here, and what I want you to see here, the decision was to go shopping. You know, when we think of Christmas and how, you know, everybody's shopping, you know, traffic and parking spots and all that, we talked about that a week ago, didn't we? And here God is going shopping. What's he going? He's shopping for you. Christmas is all about buying, and here God is sending his son to buy you back, to redeem you, so he can adopt you, so he can call you his child. That's what Christmas is about. And all that God wants for Christmas is you. So he made the decision to send his son. And then Jesus had to make a decision himself. This is what it says in Philippians 2. It says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross, he said, your will be done. If this is what my Father wants, this is what I will do. So Jesus himself had to make the decision to come here to this earth for the purpose of dying on a cross. That was his decision. He said yes to. To come here to this earth, to be born in a manger, to take off his divinity, to put on humanity, to leave the splendor of heaven and to lie in a manger in a stinky stable. And he said yes to this. Jesus decisively chose to honor his Father, humble himself and be obedient to his Father. So God decided to send his Son. Jesus decided to come. Mary, when she gets involved in this whole big picture, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Which all leads to you now. What is your role in this? Why are you here on this earth? Do you understand God is calling you? He's called every one of us. Not because you are more special than anybody else. Not because you're more holy than anybody else. You're more deserving than anybody else. It's just God wants a relationship with you. So he's calling you to be his child. He's calling you to know him and to love him and to walk with him and then be his ambassador here on this earth, to be a light on this earth. He's calling you. Greetings, everybody. Rejoice. You are highly favored. Everyone in this room, you are highly favored. And God wants a special relationship with you. He wants to be with you. I'll take it one more step beyond that. He wants to be in you. And you might ask, like Mary, how? Well, my answer is nothing is impossible with God. Through his Holy Spirit and you allowing your life, your heart, to be a temple for the Holy Spirit to dwell in you, to live in you, to go with you wherever you go. And not quite like Mary did it, but there are similarities for us to bear the image of Christ. How will you respond?